Amen. Well, we're certainly glad to have everyone here at Word of Life, and we want to encourage you, if you can right now, to open up your Bibles with us to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. On the screens, we're going to the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. On the screens, Acts chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. In your Bibles, Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 6. I said this Wednesday night, I'll say it again. Feel free also to use an iPhone or an iPad or a Kindle that has a Bible app on it. It's just make sure if you're using that you're not texting too. If you do text or you get a text, text them back and say, why aren't you here at Word of Life on Lakeland Drive? And get us a member. You can feel free to use that technology. I understand times are changing. And so if you want to use that, feel free to do it. Feel free. If you need a Bible or you don't have an app of some kind to see a Bible on, our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. So you can lift up your hand if you desire one. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. We've been talking on Sunday mornings. We started last Sunday a series entitled Walking in the Fog. Fog being short for the favor of God. And friends, I'm telling you, the more that I studied the subject throughout the week, the more I see just how good God is and wanting to give us his favor. You know, when you talk about issues like this, the favor of God or increase or any of these subjects where God is wanting to do something good for his people, so oftentimes our flesh gets in the way and it wonders, why does God want to be that good to me? And religion will almost kick back and say, well, shouldn't we struggle in life? Friend, I want to emphasize this to you. When it comes to the message of faith and even confession, believing God for things, always keep this in mind. When you're in faith for something, it's not trying to get God to line up towards your will. There's a huge difference between getting God to line up with what you want, what you are saying, and you lining up with what God wants and what he is saying. See, confession is not just blab it and grab it or name it and claim it. Confession is me seeing what God wants for me in his word and me getting my words in agreement with his. I'm not trying to talk God into doing something that's not his will. No, faith is me finding out what the will of God is and getting in agreement with that. And with this issue of favor, you're not trying to talk God into giving you something that he doesn't want to give you. Favor is not man's idea. Favor is God's idea for man. And with any subject that we teach in the Bible, I want to encourage you, if you don't see me give you scripture for it, chapter and verse for it, do not believe anything that I say. Don't even listen to me. Just turn me out. If I'm not giving you chapter and verse for it, then text away, search the internet, all of those things. I'm serious with that because we want our beliefs founded upon the Word of God. And I'm convinced that when you see this subject of favor in the Word of God, it's impossible not to see that God's will for your life is for your life to be endowed or endued with the favor of God. We saw last week that in the book of Acts, the New Testament, a man named Stephen is preaching, and in his message, he gives two examples of people who walked in the favor of God. The first example that he gives is found in Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. It said, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. Go down to verse 10. And delivered him out of all his afflictions. Once again, I love this. Notice God was not giving him affliction, but rather delivering him out of all affliction. That's the kind of God we serve. And gave him what? Favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he being the king, made him being Joseph, governor over Egypt and all his house. How did this happen in Joseph's life? God gave Joseph favor. Now, the more you study this subject, favor, especially from a New Testament point of view, you see that it's God's will for you to increase in it. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with both God and man. Once again, we said this last week, in the New Testament, the word favor and grace, it's the exact same word. It's just sometimes when they wrote the King James Bible, they translated grace. Other times they translated it favor. But one of the things that you can see about grace is you can increase in it. That the Bible talks about in 1 Peter as well as the book of James, that when we walk in humility, we receive more grace. You can increase in this thing called favor. You can walk in more grace. And what I want to show you today, as well as what we talked about last Sunday, is when you're walking in the favor of God, you're walking in the fog. What happens to your life? Because I believe once you see what can happen in your life, it's going to inspire your heart to believe God daily for the favor of God to be with you. In Genesis chapter 39, we see an example of God giving favor to Joseph. Let's read this account together. I'm in 2 Chronicles, don't know how I got there, but we're going over to Genesis chapter 39. And let's read this scripture, starting in verse 1. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was, notice this, a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." That's funny. If the Lord's against it, why would he make Joseph do it? Verse 4, and this is something to think about. "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught which he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Go over to verse 21. You know the story. Things change for Joseph. He finds himself in prison. But yet even in prison, notice what happens in Joseph's life. Verse 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him," once again, God is a giver of favor, "gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Why was all of this happening in Joseph's life? You know, it's funny when you hear most preachers talk about Joseph, they never sit down and actually read the story. They actually quote it. And they give the impression that Joseph was under affliction for years and years and years. And poor old Joseph the slave and poor old Joseph the prisoner. But friend, when we see this, we see that yes, he was both of those things. But he was not poor old Joseph the slave or poor old Joseph the prisoner. Yes, he was in prison. But he found himself over the prison, prospering while he was in it. Yes, he was a slave, but he found himself over his master's whole house, prospering while he did it. What enabled him to do those things? Not only that, but later rise to command of the most powerful nation of all the earth. Friend, what enabled him to do that was the favor of God. Now, I want you to major on this in your heart right now. The favor of God can radically change your life. Who knows where Joseph's life would have been without God's favor? But God put his favor on him. God gave him favor. And when it did, it completely altered Joseph's life. I read over this over and over again to find out what exactly the favor of God did for Joseph. And I could see four main things. I want to give you these four things so that you see what favor can do, so that it stirs up your heart to get in faith for it. Before I do that, let me say this. How many of you know God is not a respecter of persons? No, he's not. If he did, he would be showing favorites. And friend, while we're all God's favorite, he loves everyone the same. Meaning, if he wanted it for Joseph, he wants it for you. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God didn't change when the testaments changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he wants it for Joseph, it means he wants it for you. There are four things that happened to Joseph that I can see from Scripture when the favor of God came upon his life. The first one is this. It'll come up on the screen. It made him a prosperous man. Now, I know a lot of times that word prosper or prosperous, religion often wants to grab a hold of that and twist it into something that it is not. See, in most people's religious mind, to prosper means to love money. And to love money, that's the root of all evil and greed and pride and all of these other things. Well, when it comes to the issue of prosperity, where is God? Does he want his people struggling or does he want them in excess wealth? The answer's found right in the middle of the road. God wants his people blessed. He does not want them covetous. He doesn't want them envious. He doesn't want them loving money, but he does want them blessed. He wants them prosperous. And when you think of this word prosperity or prosperous, I want you to think about it according to how the Bible interprets it. This word prosperous in the Bible means to have a good journey. When you think of prosperity, God prospering me, God making Joseph a prosperous man, it means that Joseph saw progression. Joseph saw promotion. I put it to you this way. It's God's will for your life this time next year to be further along than where your life is now. In every way, including financially. God wants you growing in love, growing in wisdom, growing in vitality, and growing in income. It's God's will for your life today to be further along than where it was this time last year. In fact, over in the New Testament and 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, there's only one chapter in 1 John, but anyway, 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, John writes and says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That word prosper, I looked it up. This is what it means. It means to one to give help on the road. To give help on the road or along the road. To number two, to have success in business affairs. Number one, to have help along the road. Number two, to have success in business affairs. And number three, to have a prosperous journey. Beloved, I wish above all things to give you help along the road. I wish above all things that you would have a prosperous journey. I wish above all things that you would have success in business affairs. That's God speaking to his church. See, God is a father, and just like any other father, he longs for his children to be blessed, to be in good health, and to have their soul prospering, growing in love with him. God desires that for you, just like he desired it for Joseph. Think about Joseph's prosperity. How did it look? God gave him a prosperous journey. God gave him help along the road. When Joseph started, he started as a slave. But he didn't end up as a slave. He ended up the ruler of the most powerful nation on earth at that time. And all along the way, what is God doing? He's prospering him. Even when he was a slave, he promoted him. He progressed him to the overseer of that whole house. He prospered what was in his hand. What was that? That was help along the road. That was God progressing Joseph's life. Even when he found himself in prison, what did God do? He prospered his journey. That wasn't his ultimate destination, but even in that place, God was with him. God was prospering him. God was helping him succeed, making him the ruler over that prison. And it led him all the way to Joseph's ultimate calling. Friend, if your life seems like it's not progressing, you need the favor of God. If it seems like, man, you know what? It just seems like we're stalled. We're not moving forward as a family. It just seems like this business is not moving forward. We just capped out here. What you need is the favor of God. God gives us favor to help us along the journey, to help us get from point A to point B. The second thing that the favor of God did for Joseph was very unique. We can see it here on the screens. It made the right people notice him. The favor of God made the right people to notice Joseph. Think about it. Joseph comes into Potiphar's house. At this time, he's about 17 years old, just a young man. Potiphar owns a huge house with a lot of people working for him. But when Joseph comes up on the scene, something about Joseph stands out to Potiphar. He thinks, you know what? I need to make this guy the ruler of the whole household. Surely there were people there who had more tenure. Surely there were people there who were more qualified. But when Potiphar saw Joseph, he noticed, I need to make this guy the ruler of my house. What was that? It's the favor of God. When Joseph finds himself in prison, there are other prisoners there. Joseph later is over them. But when the prison keeper saw Joseph, he noticed him. He didn't just see him, he noticed him. See, what the favor of God does, it's God shining his light upon you. Picture like a dark room with a lot of people in it, say even in this place, if we turned out all the lights, but we put one spotlight on someone right in the center. As soon as that light hit them, if the room was really dark, every eye in the place would go to them and notice them. That's what the favor of God does for an individual who's walking in the favor of God. It's God shining his light upon them. I'll give you an example of how this works in the natural. Several years ago, we were putting on a singles conference over at Twin Lakes. And there were a lot of people who were coming out to this thing. And I was one of the speakers there. And we were meeting at the church. This was at our old church on Highway 18. And we were caravanning over to Twin Lakes. I was taking my own car because I was planning on coming back earlier. And while I was there, I noticed this individual out in the parking lot. And he wasn't attending the church on a regular basis. Yeah, this is the guy. You can leave him up there. I noticed him, and when I did, something on the inside of my heart said, he needs to ride with you. A lot of people there getting on the caravan to go over. He wasn't even living in the state. He was living in Alabama at the time. But I noticed him, and I asked him, hey, come over here and ride with me. Well, he was shocked and all of that and wasn't expecting that. He gets in the car, and we start talking about the things of God. Robert Earl Berry Jr. He gets in the car and I'm talking to him about the things of God. And I don't know where he's at in life. Like I said, I wasn't a close acquaintance of his. I knew who he was, but I didn't know about his life. And we start driving to Twin Lakes and, you know, you can tell he's a little bit nervous. It seems like whenever people meet with the pastor, it's like they're going to the principal's office and they freeze up and clam up and I don't want to say anything wrong or, you know, so anyway, I'm doing most of the talking here and we get to the conference, we have a good conference and then we're on our way back. And on our way back, I see him once again getting on the caravan, but I'm telling you what, it was like he was the only person there. And I called him out. I said, Robert, come over here again. And so he came over there. I said, what, you're not going to ride with me? He said, oh, I'm sorry, I'll ride with you. So he gets in the car and we start talking once again about the things of the Lord. And like I said, I didn't know him very well at all. He was living in another state. But after that, I couldn't stop thinking about Robert Earl Barry Jr. He was on the forefront of my mind every time that I prayed. And I started talking with Jay, who is over our minister of music. He still is. He plays the keyboard on Sunday mornings. He can play guitar, bass, drums. But anyway, he primarily plays the keyboard because of the need. But anyway, I was talking to him, and he was saying, you know what? I've had him on my heart too. What is that? That's the favor of God. Now, I didn't know this about his life at that time. You can take his picture off. So, but anyway, I didn't know this about his life at that time, but he comes to me and tells me all the time that that was the turning point in his life, that his life was not going in the direction that it is now, but that day his life kind of turned around. And over the process of time, I had him on my heart so much, I said, I think we need to hire this guy. And so I made him an offer to do maintenance. That's an entry-level position here on the church staff, because I want to see who really wants to work in ministry and who just wants to be in ministry. There's a big difference. Big, big, big difference. And so I offered him the maintenance position. And maintenance is, it's not fun. There's no getting around that. You can try to bring fun into it, but, you know, you're fixing things, cleaning things, all of those types of things. But he accepted the job. And friend, I kid you not, over the span of the last couple of years, I have seen the favor of God with this man. I've seen what has happened in his life. And you know what's happened? Progression. Progress. He's not the same person he was 5 years ago. His life is increasing. His family is increasing. He went from maintenance to being over the college age to helping with youth. Now he's an associate pastor here on the church and just growing in the things of God and growing in his calling of God. And that's not the half of what Robert Barry Earl Jr. will do. He's destined for so much more than that. But my point is that on that particular day, the favor of God shined upon his life. And if I wouldn't have noticed him in that parking lot, I don't know where his life would be at today. I believe God can work things around, but that was a turning point in his life, a turning point in my life too. The favor of God shone on him that day. I think of another example of when I hired the guy who built this church. Obviously, it's a great project. And years ago, I was sitting in a class listening to a seminar, and this man got up. I'd never heard or seen him before, but when he did, I knew in my heart as soon as I saw him, as soon as I noticed him, I'm supposed to do business with this man. When I build our church, he's supposed to build it. And friends, I tried to talk myself out of using him as the builder. He was based in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There were other contractors who are here locally, others that are in other states are a little bit closer. But I knew this man is the man who's supposed to build this building. The favor of God shone upon him. He didn't have to make a big sales pitch to me. He didn't have to send me a whole bunch of stuff in the mail trying to get me to do business with him. When the favor of God shines on you, friend, it attracts all the people you need in life to run your race. It makes them notice you and brings them into your life. That's what the favor of God did for Joseph. The third thing the favor of God did for him, we'll see it come up on the screens next. All that he did, all that Joseph did, prospered in his hand. You notice when we were reading Genesis chapter 39, I mentioned and emphasized that word hand over and over again. When the favor of God came on Joseph's life, it meant that everything Joseph put his hand to, it worked. It prospered. He had success in. That means that the favor of God comes upon your life. If you put your hand to something, you experience success in that arena, in that area. But here's the key. This coin is two-sided. You have to first put your hand to it. Friend, if you're wanting favor on the job or even for God to give you a new job, listen to me real closely here. You cannot give that job less than your best. We live in a society today where good is called great and average is called good. Friends, I want to encourage you, as Christian workers, we ought to be the best at what we do. Whether it is sweeping a street, or whether it is being a waiter, or whether it's at the checkout stand, we ought to be giving it our best. Why? Because we are not doing our work for anyone else but for the Lord. We work unto Him. We do that work in His name. And I promise you that if on your job, you will start giving that job your best and believe God for His favor, you will see that job prosper in your hand. It may lead to you getting a promotion or raise on that job. It may open up the door to another job. But friends, if we want to see God's best in our life, we must give God our best in our life. Does that make sense? We've got to give God our best. I know in my life there are many times where I can look back on, especially this past week, I've been trying to do this, to look back on in places where I've seen the favor of God. And there's one particular instance that stood out to me, and it was when me and my wife bought our house and sold the house that we were living in. It was right when the recession came. And, that's not a fun time to try to sell a house. The supply is far outweighing the demand. And I walked in this one house with my wife on this one particular Friday. And as soon as we crossed the threshold, I knew I'm supposed to buy this house. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, we put in an offer in it that day. But you know what was the next phone call I made? I made it to a home inspector. And you know what I got the home inspector to do? I'm talking about walking in the favor of God. I got the home inspector to inspect my house. I paid him $495 to come in and tell me what was wrong with my house. And you know what I did with that after he told me what was wrong with it? I fixed it. Not just fixed it, but I replaced anything that needed to be replaced. Anything that even the future homeowner may not have seen, I went ahead and made sure it was done with excellence. Why? If I'm wanting God to sell my house, shouldn't I try to make that house the best it can be? If I'm wanting God to go to work on something, shouldn't I go to work on it as well? There's a scripture that I love in the book of Proverbs. It says, "The horse and the carriage is prepared in the day of battle, but the battle is the Lord's." Meaning it's our job to do what we can do to prepare, but still we let God fight our battles. And in that situation, friend, I went through fixing all of those things. Now, I'll be honest, it cost me a lot of money. But you know what? My house sold in 2 weeks. Not only did it sell in 2 weeks, but the offer that I made on the house that I bought, they accepted that offer without any negotiation. And the offer that was put on my house, I didn't have to come back with a counter offer. What is that? That's the favor of God. But it's not just God giving me everything He can give me. It's me giving God everything I can give Him too. I said this to the first service. You know, it's like you can't believe God to help you lose weight if you're doing your devotionals at Krispy Kreme. You've got to do what you can do and then be in faith that God will help you with that. You know, if you're studying for a test, you can't not study all week and then read one chapter and go in the next morning and say, "God, give me your favor and help me pass this test." No, friend, it doesn't work that way. You do what you can do, but here's the other side of that coin. When you do your best, God puts His favor on it and increases your efforts. When Joseph put his hand to it, it prospered. It worked. When Joseph went after it and really gave it his best, God came and honored that and brought fullness into Joseph's life. Friend, I want to encourage you, if it seems like you're putting your hand to the job but it's not producing, what you need is the favor of God. If you're putting your hand towards sales but it looks like sales aren't coming, what you need is the favor of God. The favor of God will prosper what you put your hand to. And fourthly, the favor of God did this for Joseph. It brought the blessing of God to his house and his work. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39 that the Lord prospered, brought his blessing on the field where the work was done and in the house. See, in this world, it's almost like you have to pick between one or the other. That if you want to have great success in business, you've got to work on it. But in the process, you're not working on your home. You're not working on your family. So you experience success over here, but this area starts to separate and fall apart a little bit. So you run back over here to fix all of that. But while you're investing all that time and energy into the family, the work situation starts falling apart. Friends, what the favor of God can do, it brings a balance. The favor of God brings the blessing of the Lord in your life. And when the blessing of the Lord comes, it makes one rich, but it adds no sorrow, according to the book of Proverbs. Friend, I want to encourage you to believe for the favor of God. I want to encourage you to wake up every morning and say, Father, I see from Scripture, I need your favor. I need your favor in my life. I want you to wake up every morning and say, God, I need you in my business today. Take the time to do it. What I don't take time for, it means in my heart, I don't believe I need. And friends, if I really believe I need God in my life, and I believe I need all he has to offer, including his favor, it means I'll take time to ask for it. I'll take time to give him thanks for it. Let's close with one scripture. We'll close with this and I'll let you go. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. That's why I was there. I had my marker in it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It's one of my favorite all-time chapters in the Bible. It is one that completely changed and altered my life once I understood the truth in it. I can only give you a little kernel of that truth this morning, but nevertheless, it is powerful. And 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we see the story of King Uzziah. Uzziah is the king over Israel, and he is made king when he is 16 years old. It's amazing to me every time I think about it, that the ruler of a nation is 16 years old. But here this teenager did something very, very smart, and I want you to see what he did in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 4. It said, and he being Uzziah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. In verse 5, and he sought God. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God was making this young man prosper, making his kingdom prosper. I remember reading that at a time in my life where it looked like my life was doing anything but moving forward. My career was doing anything but moving forward. The church was doing anything but moving forward. I saw that and it dawned on me, God made this man prosper, made him. Gave him no choice in the matter. He made him prosper. God made his life move forward. And you read the next chapter, a couple of verses, you see all the areas God made his life move forward. Gave him peace with all of his enemies, made his name famous, multiplied his labors, made all that he did to prosper in his hand, gave him flowers and husbandry because he loved it, gave him ideas and witty inventions. All these ways God made him prosper. And you know what the key to his prosperity was? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. What I want to encourage you to do is this morning and this week, recognize your need for him. You know what I mean by that? To see God, I really need you in my life. Now, I don't know what you're facing. And what's very interesting in Uzziah's life, when he's 16, you know he's overwhelmed trying to run this kingdom. He recognizes his need for God, and so he seeks him. But later, once he's at the peak of his prosperity, his heart got lifted up into pride. He didn't recognize his need for the Lord, and he lost it all. Friends, don't allow your heart to live life thinking, I don't need God. I don't need his favor. And I know no one in here would ever say that. But like I said, what we believe we need, we take the time to get. When you believe you need food, you sit down and eat food. When you feel like I need water, I'm thirsty, you sit down and you drink water. Why? You believe you need it. What you believe you need, you make time for. Friend, I'm telling you, you need God. You need a touch of his favor. And when it is in your life, it causes your life to flourish. That's probably the ideal word. Take the time to wait on the Lord. Take time this week and say, Father, thank you for your favor. I thank you that your favor is making my life progress. I thank you that your favor, it's bringing me in front of the right people. And when I'm there, they notice me. It helps align my calling. Thank you, Father, that what I put my hand to this week, these sales calls, this waiting tables, whatever it may be, when I put my hand to it, thank you, Father, it prospers in my hand this week. And Father, I thank you that your blessing is coming upon my work and my home, making both prosper. Thank you, Lord, for it. What is that? That's saying, Father, I need that in my life. I need you in my life. And friend, I'm telling you, as long as you seek the Lord, God will make you prosper. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray with you before you leave.